think, first of all, you read what we have. The description of higher mind, etc., starts from page number 939. So 939 to the end of this chapter is the description of all that we spoke of just now. All right. We have come to a very difficult portion of the chapter that we are studying, namely the ascent of the supermind. We have covered two important points in this chapter. The first point was that you have to reach a high level of individuation in this process of ascent to the supermind. And we have discussed at length what is individuality, what is free will, which is a very important part of individuality. And we have discussed the second point, namely that the law of evolution operates in this process of ascent to the supermind. And in respect of this law of evolution, we had spoken of two important elements in this law: the law of ascent and the law of integration. You make an ascent to a higher plane, and when you reach a higher point, then there is a descent so as to absorb all that is below and to raise up all that is below into the higher. And then you reach a point of maturing the new level by process of intensification, by the process of purification, by making that level more complex and more subtle. Complexity and subtlety, when these are increased, then again you have an ascent to a higher level. And in this process of ascent to the supermind, this law operates. And because of the operation of this law, you do not jump straight from our present level to the supermind, but there are gradations through which we pass. And this is the third point now we are coming to. What are these gradations? And we are to consider these relations. We have already named these relations. Sri Aurobindo has called them the higher mind, the illumined mind, the intuitive mind, the over mind, and then the super mind. So these are the gradations through which we pass. And these gradations are very difficult for us to understand. Even if you read the accounts given by these planes by Sri Aurobindo, several times they are difficult because they fall outside our normal experience. Even by analogy it becomes difficult. And yet, let us make an effort to understand to the best that we can. It will be a modest effort. But it may become fruitful. The word higher mind is a plane above our mind. And even to understand our own mind is first of all a difficult task. Because even our own mind has many levels in it. Usually we call this mind ordinary mind. Our mind is ordinary mind as compared to all these levels of consciousness. Now this ordinary mind has three levels. The physical mind, the vital mind, and the pure mind. Mind, as I said, has the lowest level called the physical mind. Physical mind is the mind which is subject to physical concerns. It is subject to our bodily condition. If your body is very healthy, you feel everything fresh and wonderful. The physical mind is in a very happy condition. If your body is ill, things look gloomy and dark. So the bodily condition determining our mind . Secondly, usually the body has the habit of repeating mechanically its activities. As a result of that, when our mind is subject to the physical, it has the habit of manufacturing repetitive ideas, mechanical ideas. The same idea going round and round and round and round. thirdly, the physical mind has a habit of believing only physical things. Unless things are physically brought to it, the physical mind is not convinced. It demands a physical proof, physical perception of things which are talked about. To this mind, vital mind, pure mind, higher mind, illumined mind, all these are fictions. It takes only the physical reality to be the real reality. Everything else is imaginary. This is the third element of the physical mind. The fourth element on the physical mind is, it is prone to laziness, prone to inertia. So this is the so the physical mind is subject to the physical condition in which we are. It is subject to repetitiveness. It is subject to belief in physical reality. It is prone to lethargy, laziness, inertia, rest. These are the characteristics of the physical mind. This is the mind of which we have plenty of experience. Therefore, we can understand physical mind quite easily. Then there is the vital mind. Vital mind is the mind which is subject to the vital. And vital consists of impulses. Desires, emotions, attractions, repulsions, ambitions, and various kinds of drives of imagination. And when the mind is subject to these, it is called vital mind. The normal experience of vital mind is what is called wishful thinking. The tendency of the mind to justify what we desire. Very often we tend to justify our actions and we put forward arguments to support our action, which may have been motivated by our desire. But we bring arguments which are mental. So mind is put at the service of the vital, so that mind can manufacture arguments in favor of the vital. So this is one of the examples of the vital mind. I like to see a certain film, and then my mind finds out many arguments as to why that film should be seen. It may be a desire to see a film, but the mind manufactures arguments to support that desire. It is an example of the activity of the vital mind. I may be driven by an ambition, and then my mind manufactures arguments to support that ambition. This is also called rationalization. Not rationality, but rationalization. To find reasonable arguments, rational arguments, for supporting what is not rational. What is in itself irrational, but you find out rational arguments to support it. This is called rationalization.